ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स टू लॉर्ड कृष्ण टेक्स्ट नंबर 57 एंड 58 will recite the 57th verse. Sarvesham api vastunam bhava bhavarto bhavati stitah tasyapi bhagavan krishna kim tad astu rupyatam. Translation: the original unmanifested form of material nature is the source of all material things, and the source of even that subtle material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. What then could one ascertain to be separate from Him? Because there is no purport, we'll go to the next verse. समाश्रिताये पदपल्लवप्लवं महत्पदं पुण्ययशो मुरारे भवाम्बुधिर्वत्सपदं परं पदं 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 यद्विपदां न तेषाम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसिपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद. ट्रांसलेशन: for those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoof print. Their goal is Parampadam, Vaikunta, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. Purport: this translation is taken from Srila Prabhupada's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 51. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, this verse summarizes the knowledge presented in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are described as Pallava, flower buds, because they are most tender and of a pinkish hue. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the word Pallava also indicates that Lord Krishna's lotus feet are just like desire trees which can fulfill all the desires of the Lord's pure devotees. Even exalted devotees like Sri Narada, who are themselves the great shelter for the conditioned souls in this universe, personally take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Thus it is natural that when Lord Krishna manifested himself as all the young boys and calves of Vrindavan, their parents were more attracted to them than previously. Lord Krishna is a reservoir of all pleasure, and being all attractive, the ultimate object of everyone's love. So we are reading from the 10th canto, the concluding verses of this particular pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela. So in this particular story, that after Shukadeva Goswami narrated Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna, so Parishit Maharaj asked a question to Shukadeva Goswami, that he's asking that how is it that the residents of Vrindavan, how is it that they had more love for Krishna than their own children? Usually in this world, we see that we have more love towards like our own relatives and our own children than with other people. But here, in the Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, they had more love towards Krishna than their own children. And during that Brahma Vimohan Leela, during that 1 year, their affection towards all the children in Vrindavan were actually same because everyone was Krishna. So Parishit Maharaj asked this question, and in response, we see that this particular, when we see, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, that Parishit Maharaj, in different places he asked different questions, and because of that, Sukadeva Goswami narrates different pastimes, different appearances of the Lord, different incarnations of the Lord. Sometimes when Lord appears, in different incarnations, Lord appears to fulfill the desires of different devotees. When Lord appeared as Vamanadev, he appeared to actually fulfill the desires of Aditi, and he wanted to give the kingdom to Indra. He wanted to actually fulfill the, he wanted to accomplish many purposes. He wanted to fulfill the desires of different people. And so, for one Lord appeared to fulfill the desires of different devotees. But when Lord appeared as a Narasingadev, he appeared just to protect his devotee Prahlad Maharaj. So one is to one. And sometimes when Lord appears, one is to many devotees. Lord appeared as Narasingadev, mainly to protect his devotee Prahlad Maharaj, one is to one. But in the case of Parishit Maharaj, because of this one devotee, Parishit Maharaj, Lord appeared in different incarnations in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So many incarnations for one devotee. So that is a speciality of Parishit Maharaj, that Parishit Maharaj, in the course of Srimad Bhagavatam, he asked so many questions, and because of that, Sukadeva Goswami narrates the pastimes of different incarnations, Varahadev, Vamandev, Narasingadev, and so many incarnations. So for one devotee, so Lord has appeared in so many forms, in so many incarnations in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the speciality of Parishit Maharaj. And in fact, in one purport in the second canto, when Parishit Maharaj asked this question, can you please tell me that what is the goal of a person who is about to die? How can you, what should a person hear, chant and remember at the time of death and in all circumstances? So Parishit Maharaj asked this question at the end of the first canto. And Sukadeva Goswami, he says, Variyan yeshate prashna krita loka hitam ripa atmavit sammata pumsam shrota vyadishu yaha paraha. Your question is the best among all the questions, and it is actually meant for the welfare of the whole world. And your question is actually approved by all the transcendentalists. And then he says, shrota vyadishu yaha paraha. Your question is the best subject matter for hearing. Parishit Maharaj's question is that, what subject matter should a person hear, chant and remember at the time of death? But Sukadeva Goswami's reply is that, your question itself is the best subject matter for hearing. So Vishnu Chakravartakur writes in the purport that, simply by hearing, chanting and remembering the questions asked by the pure devotees, by that itself one can attain the success. Forget about the answer to the question. Simply by hearing and chanting and remembering the questions asked by the devotees, one can attain the success. So Parishit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami is congratulating that, just by hearing your questions, people will attain success. So we have to appreciate Parishit Maharaj. Because of his question, Sukadeva Goswami is actually giving a very important philosophical truth in these verses. So Sukadeva Goswami says, many devotees have spoken, but I would just like to summarize. Sukadeva Goswami is basically saying, in this world, whatever affection we have, we have got affection towards different people, our relatives, different friends, or different things in this world. But the basis of affection towards different people or different objects in this world is the affection towards one's own body. And then he says, but the basis of affection towards one's own body is the affection towards one's own soul. But the basis of affection towards one's own soul is the affection towards Krishna, because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So basically, Shukadeva Goswami mentions, basically, the love towards Krishna is the basis of all the affection or the love which we exhibit towards different people or different things, or the love we have towards our own soul. So he is actually explaining this important philosophical concept, that love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the basis of all the love which we see in this world. So when we forget the love towards the Supreme Lord, then we try to love people or the objects of this world without seeing them in connection with Krishna. So actually, that love towards different people or objects in this world, they become complete only when we develop love towards Krishna. So here, in this particular concluding verse, it's mentioned that, according to Sridhar Swami, this verse summarizes the knowledge presented in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's one of the famous verse which Prabhupada would often quote in his lectures and then in his purports. Samashrita ye padapallava plavam mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavam budhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadamna tesham. So here it is explained that for those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of material world becomes like a small puddle which is contained in a hoof print of a calf. And the goal of such people who accept the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord is Vaikuntha, where there are no miseries, and not the place where there is danger at every step. So here it is explained that the material world is a place where, which is actually filled with danger at every step. In fact, actually, unless a person is convinced of that reality, that the material world is a place where there is danger at every step, one cannot take shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness. If a person is not convinced of this fact, then the spiritual discourses will be more like a pious entertainment in the mode of goodness. So, that's why we see, like, especially in the case of pure devotees, they are always conscious of the fact that material world is a place where there is danger. Like once Prabhupada was going, it's a morning walk, there was a board which is written that trees dangerous at high winds. These trees are dangerous at high winds because the trees can fall like that. They mentioned. Prabhupada just said that trees are dangerous at high winds and at all times. Once some hippie asked Srila Prabhupada that, like, what can this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra do to a person? How can it help? So Prabhupada said, this can save you from death. So Prabhupada was always conscious of this fact. So that is why, like, if a person is not conscious of this fact, then one cannot, although one may practice Krishna consciousness, but one cannot take shelter. Like Radhana Swami Maharaj, when he was giving class on this Gajendra Moksha, he was mentioning, he said that life is nothing but shifting from blunt teeth to sharp teeth. Like sometimes one may say, oh, right now my life is comfortable. Why should I be so pessimistic about oh, material world is miserable? But the fact is that we are actually always in the jaws of the crocodile. It is just a matter of time that the crocodile changes the, like, teeth from blunt teeth to sharp teeth. So life is nothing but basically changing from blunt teeth to sharp teeth. So I say, like in the Isopanishad, especially there is one purport Prabhupada mentions that he says that the miseries of this material world, they indirectly remind us to tell about the incompatibility of the living entity with matter. And the intelligent people take note of these reminders and immediately try to prepare for their next life. So the purpose of the miseries is to actually remind us of the incompatibility with the matter. Those who are intelligent, as soon as they get some miseries, immediately they will take note. One devotee told a funny story, but this actually tells this principle. We can understand this principle nice. This we can understand this particular statement of Prabhupada. Like one man had like four daughters. So he had invited the four daughters and different daughter son-in-laws for the Diwali vacation. So then they came for the Diwali vacation, and then so Diwali got over, and then 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed. But then none of them left the house. So this man was like completely confused. Like he was saying, like, already Diwali got over 2 weeks back, but why the my daughters and son-in-laws are not going? So then one day he started feeding the previous day's dinner in the breakfast. So immediately the first son-in-law, he understood, I think I'm no longer wanted. So immediately he packed up his bag and went with his wife. But the next son-in-law, they thought, oh, okay, it's all right. You know, the previous day's break, dinner is all right. So they just continue to stay. And then 1 week passed. So he was getting more frustrated. Then he started like giving the previous day's lunch in the breakfast. So then the second son-in-law thought, okay, I think this is too much. We can't take the previous day's lunch. Then second son-in-law immediately left. The third son-in-law, but the other two son-in-law, they continued to remain. Then, after some days, he started feeding 2 days old food in the breakfast. Then third son-in-law, he felt, oh, this is too much actually, I can't tolerate this. And he left immediately. But the fourth son-in-law, he continued to stay. So then, this man, he started, after a few days, one day, he took a broom and started beating this person. He said, like, why are you beating me? He said, Diwali got over 2 months back, but still, why are you still continuing to stay here? So why didn't you tell me that before? If you had told me, then I would have left long before. So basically, the point is that those who are intelligent, as soon as they get a small reminder, as soon as they get some little bit experience of misery, they hear about misery, they immediately take note of it seriously and then immediately leave. That's what Prabhupada mentions in the Isopanishad purport. So, in fact, actually, unless a person even understands that the material world is miserable, one cannot even preach effectively. So it is more, it actually comes more from the intellectual platform or just one cannot even preach effectively. So in our case, like we are just trying to, at least for myself, I'm just trying to preach for my own purification. But we see like great devotees, they are always conscious of this fact. So that is, how do we know that a person is conscious of this fact? So when a person is conscious that the material world is miserable, so one will not be attached to sense gratification, one will not be attached to the temporary pleasures of this world. Then such a person can actually preach effectively. So, in the 8th canto, there is a beautiful verse that the demigods, actually Lord Brahma is offering prayers to Lord Vishnu. So he says, Dravyam vaya karma gunan vishesham yad yoga maya vihitan vadanti yad durvi bhavyam prabhudapa badam prasidatam nasa mahavibhuti. So Lord Brahma is saying This material world comprising of the five material elements, the time factor, the fruitive activities, and the three modes of material nature, they are all enacted by the Yoga Maya potency of the Supreme Lord. They are all enacted by the potency of the Supreme Lord. Yad Yoga Maya Vihitan Vidanti. But the and this material world is very difficult to understand. Yad Durvi Bhavyam. It is very difficult to understand. But although it is very difficult to understand, but the great learned people have rejected this material world. Prabhudapa Badam. So may that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller of all the potencies, be pleased with me. Prasida Tamsa Mahavibhuti. So here, Prabhupada says, Yad Durvi Bhavyam. The material world, it is very difficult to understand the affairs of the material world, the workings of the material world. But then one may ask the question that if you don't know about the nature of the material world, if you don't know about the workings of the material world, then how can you reject this material world? So it is like blindly rejecting. One is like blindly following, and blindly rejecting is also another extreme. It's another extreme of blindly following. So if you want to reject the material world, first go and experience all the places in the material world. Make sure that all the places in the material world are miserable, then you reject it. So without understanding that how all the places in the material world are miserable, then how can you reject blindly? So when you don't know how the material world is working, yet durvi bhavyam. So Prabhupada mentions, actually the answer is, although the material world, the workings of the material world are very difficult to understand, but it is rejected by great learned people. Prabhudapa Badam. Because it is rejected by great learned people, so we also reject, will also reject this material world. So Prabhupada says in the purport, so to go back to Godhead means to reject the material world. Although we cannot understand that whether this place will be good for us or bad for us, but we reject this material world because the great learned people have rejected. Because some people may say that, so how can you say that say America is not a miserable place? You have not gone to America. So how can you say maybe Swargaloka is not a miserable place? You have not experienced that. You know, we are actually rejecting based on the authority of the learned people. Like once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, so why are you telling us to reject LSD? And why are you telling us to reject the pleasures of this material world? So Prabhupada said, that person asked like, you are not experienced LSD. You are not experienced all the places in the material world. Then why are you telling us to reject? So Prabhupada said, if a living entity can reject Krishna without knowing anything about Krishna, then there is nothing wrong in rejecting the material world without knowing everything about the material world. So when a person has rejected Krishna without knowing anything about Krishna, then there is nothing wrong in rejecting the pleasures of the material world without experiencing all these pleasures, without knowing everything about the material world. So, so that is why we see this, one of the most important often quoted verses in the Bhagavad Gita, which devotees quote is, Mamupetya punar janma dukalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramamgata. Especially Krishna is calling this material world is a place of misery, and more than that is, he is calling this is actually temporary. Because some people may say, I don't agree this place is a miserable place because in my life everything is going perfectly. That's why Krishna is using the next word, ashashvatam. In one sense, like ashashvatam is more important than dukalayam, because the word ashashvatam makes this world even more miserable. Because when a person is having pleasures in this world and suddenly when he gets miseries, then that experience of misery will create a greater shock in the person than when a person is always having miseries. So this ashashvatam, he is saying that this world is actually temporary. Even if you experience pleasures, it will be actually temporary. And but when Krishna mentioned this world is actually a miserable place, but sometimes people think that the material world is like a concentration camp. Like in the Second World War, like many people were captured and they were put in a concentration camp, just like hens, like many animals who were going to be slaughtered, they were put in a small place, in a congested place. So many times people think, oh, Lord is like a cruel dictator who has put people in a concentration camp, who has created the material world, which is like a concentration camp. No, actually, material world is not like a concentration camp, but it is like a prison house. So concentration camp means like only torture. But prison house means the prisoners will be maintained properly. At the same time, they will be reformed. The needs of the prisoners will be taken care of. At the same time, they will be punished and they will be reformed. So, and so if you see, again, the same Isopanishad in the invocation, is mentioned that Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamevaya Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. The Supreme Lord is perfect and complete, and all the emanations from the Supreme Lord, they are also perfect and complete. That means like material world is also perfect and complete. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, this material world is perfect, it is equipped with all the necessities in order to maintain and sustain the living entities in this world. So that's why we see in the Gita also Krishna says that Saha yagya praja srishva puro vacha prajapati anena prasa yishyadvam yesha voshtvishta kamaduk. Krishna says that perform these sacrifices and you will get prosperity in this world and you will attain liberation in the next world. Although same Krishna says Dukkalayam Ashashvatam, it is a place of misery, but the same Krishna is saying you perform the sacrifices and you will get prosperity in this world and you will also attain liberation in the next world. So basically, like, even if a person wants to enjoy, one has to follow the dictations of Krishna. One has to follow the injunctions of the Supreme Lord. So one should not enjoy in such a way which causes bondage, but enjoy in a way which is according to the rules and regulations of the scriptures. In fact, there's another beautiful verse in the fourth canto. When Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his stepmother Suruchi, that time Suniti, she is trying to inspire Dhruva Maharaj to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So Suniti is saying, Tata manurvo bhagavan pitamaho yam yekamatya puru dakshinair makair ishtva bipede duravapamanyato baumam sukam divyamatapa vargyam. So Suniti is saying, she is actually telling Dhruva Maharaj to take shelter of the Supreme Lord by giving the example of his grandfather Swayambhuva Manu. He is saying Swayambhuva Manu, he performed great sacrifices with one-pointed attention on the Supreme Lord. Yam ekamaktya puru dakshinair makai. And in this way, he attained material happiness in this world. Ishtvabhi pete duravapa manyato baumam sukam divyam. He attained material happiness in this world and he also attained liberation. He went back to the spiritual world after death. So Prabhupada says, success in one's life is measured by one's material happiness in this world and spiritual happiness in the next world, or going back to the spiritual world in the next world. That means, we see that, and that is possible only when a person accepts the injunctions of the Supreme Lord. So we have to, Like when we take, many times we understand, when we misunderstand that when Krishna says, "Oh, this material world is a miserable place," many times we think in terms of a concentration camp. But actually Krishna has created in the form of prison house. That means like if we accept the injunctions of Krishna, then we will be maintained in this world. Just like when a prisoner follows the rules of the prison house, then he will be taken care of in the prison house, and then at the end he will be released from the prison house. So that's what is mentioned. In fact, there is another verse in the third canto, when Vidura is asking question to Uddhava. He's asking a question about Satyaki. He asks different questions about different members of the Yadu dynasty. He asks about Satyaki. How is Satyaki? So when he talks about Satyaki, he says, Satyaki, he learnt the military secrets from Arjuna, and he also attained the destination of spiritual world, which is very rarely attained, which is very difficult to attain even by great transcendentalists. So again, in that purport, Prabhupada mentions, he says that Satyaki was successful to the fullest extent from both material and spiritual angles of vision. From both material and spiritual angles of vision. And then he says, this is the way of devotional service to the Lord. Because Satyaki, he actually attained material success because he actually learned the deepest military secrets from Arjuna. And he also attained spiritual success. He went back to the spiritual world, which is very rare to obtain. So that means, again, if we follow the injunctions of the Lord, we can attain material success in this world. For that, we have to accept the system given by Krishna. We have to accept the Vedic culture and the system given by Krishna, living according to the nature. And another verse, in the first chapter of the first canto, the sages are asking the Suta Goswami, Tanna Sushrushamananam Arhas Anganu Varnitam Yasyavataro Bhutanam Kshemayacha Bhavayacha. So they say, please describe the Supreme Lord to us. Please describe the pastimes of the Supreme Lord to us. Who has appeared in this world for the prosperity of this of the people and also for the liberation of the people. Kshemayacha Bhavayacha. That's what Vishnu Chakra Thakur translates. That Lord has appeared, Lord appears in this world for the prosperity and also for the liberation. The same Lord who says Dukalay Mashashvatam, but here it is mentioned he has appeared for the prosperity and for the welfare and for the liberation. And another place in the fourth canto, Lord Shiva, in the fourth canto, sixth chapter, when Brahmaji goes to pacify Lord Shiva, it's explained that Lord Shiva was surrounded by Kuvera, who was the treasurer of the demigods, and he was also surrounded by personalities like Narada Muni. So there Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods, he is the most wealthy person. And Narada Muni is a great transcendentalist, pure devotee of the Lord. So Lord Shiva, the fact that Lord Shiva was surrounded by Kuvera and also by Narada Muni, it indicates that Lord Shiva had material opulences and also had transcendental opulences. So again, we see the point is, like all these quotes are basically emphasizing the same point, that how when we accept the system given by Krishna, then we can get prosperity in this world and also attain liberation or go back to the spiritual world after this world. So, as I say, one should not misunderstand this statement, Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. And when we say this Padam Padam Yad Vipadamna Tesham, there is a danger at every step in this material world. So many times we think in terms of physical dangers, maybe some accident or something. Actually, danger means anything which actually distracts a person away from Krishna is actually danger. So it's not that some accident or some disease. So that is just a gross danger. It could be maybe some internet or Facebook, or it could be maybe some success or material opulence. So Danger means anything which distracts a person away from Krishna is a danger. So anything which makes a person forget about Krishna, that is a danger. So it is not many times we think in terms of gross danger. Oh, anytime we can get a meet with an accident or something. No, it is basically anything which makes us forgetful of Krishna. And actually, sometimes when we apply this principle, when we say that, oh, material world is a miserable, many times we know the philosophy, but when we apply this in our practical life, sometimes one may actually apply in a way which is actually insensitive to others' needs. Or one may, there is philosophy and application of the philosophy. Like sometimes when you apply the philosophy, sometimes in an immature state, we might become harsh in our dealings to others. But we have to understand, we have to learn how to apply this philosophy. Again, we will see that from the example of one devotee. In the fourth canto, there's a beautiful verses which talks about the qualities of Prithu Maharaj. So, one verse explains that, Vanyastu Duryo Mahatam Samstritya Adhyatma Shikshaya Apta Kamam Ivatmanam Mene Atman Avastitaha. It's explained that Prithu Maharaj, among great personalities, he was the chief among great personalities because Samstat Adhyatma Shikshaya, because of his enlightenment in self-realization, because of his spiritual enlightenment, he was the chief among great personalities. And then it's explained, Apta Kamam Ivatmanam. He was completely self-satisfied. Mene Atman Avastitaha. Because he was just satisfied in his devotional service to the Lord. Prabhupada writes in the purport, actual self-satisfaction can be obtained only by a devotee. A devotee whose only desire is to serve the Supreme Lord is as self-satisfied as the Supreme Lord. So Prithu Maharaj was self-satisfied because he was just only interested in serving the Supreme Lord. And then another verse describes, Griheshu Vartamanopi Sa Samrajya Shriyanvita Na Sajyatendriyarteshu Niraham Matirarkavat. So Prithu Maharaj, although he was situated in Grihastha Ashram, Griheshu Vartamanopi, and although he was the emperor of the whole planet, although he was having so much of opulences, but he was not at all attached to sense gratification. Na asajyata indriyarteshu. And he was free from false ego, niraham. And he was like a sun, arkavat. So Prabhupada here writes a beautiful purport. He says, out of the four ashrams, Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha Sannyasa ashram, Grihastha ashram can be considered as in Grihastha ashram, one has a license for sense gratification. But Prithu Maharaj, although he was situated in the Grihastha ashram, but he did not at all engage in sense gratification. Although he was situated in Grihastha ashram, although he was the emperor of the whole planet Earth, although he had so much of opulences, he was not at all engaged in sense gratification. And this was a special sign that indicates him to be a pure devotee of the Lord. Rupa Goswami mentions in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the symptoms of a person in the Bhava Bhakti is Virakti. Virakti means a person is surrounded by objects of sense gratification, but he is completely indifferent to it. So this shows his absorption in Krishna. So the height of height of absorption in Krishna is shown by devotees who, although they are surrounded by objects of sense gratification, they are not at all, they are not engaging those objects of sense gratification because they are absorbed in Krishna. And height of absorption in Maya is that when a person is surrounded by spiritual opulences, maybe he, Kirtan is going on, maybe Srimad Bhagavatam is going on, and so many services are available, and when a person becomes completely indifferent to it, then that is like height of absorption in Maya. So here, so I'm just giving this background of these two verses in order to tell about the next verse. The next verse talks about Prithumara's quality. Gopitaya jagat srishte kale sve sve chutatmaka mano vagvritti bisaumyair gunai samranjayan praja. It's explained, achutatmaka Prithumaraj, because he was a perfect devotee of the Supreme Lord, he wanted to protect the Lord's creation by pleasing the various citizens according to their various desires. Because he was a perfect devotee of the Lord, he wanted to protect the Lord's creation by pleasing the various citizens according to their various desires. And then it's explained, Manovag Vritti Bis Saumyair. Prithu Maharaj used to please all the citizens in all respects by his words, mentality, by his different activities and by his gentle behavior. So Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport in this, to this particular verse. Prabhupada says, Prithu Maharaj used to please all kinds of citizens by his extraordinary capacity. By his extraordinary capacity to understand the mentality of others. So Prabhupada mentions, although this material world is a condemned place in comparison to the spiritual world, although this material world is condemned as dukkalayam, but still there is some purpose to the material world. But the modern scientists, they don't know the purpose of the material world. And they're just trying to do different research. But a devotee knows the purpose of the material world. What is the purpose of the material world? To give facilities to the individual souls who want to lord it over material nature, at the same time try to elevate them. So that is why Prithu Maharaj, as the ruler of the citizens, he actually he knew the why the living entities have come to this material world. So he used to please all the citizens by his words, by his actions, and by his different behavior. At the same time, he used to elevate them in their spiritual progress. So this is a very important, at least I found it very interesting. It is therefore the duty of the ruler to satisfy them in their sense gratification as well as to elevate them in their spiritual life. So many times, we try to take care of only the spiritual needs. But the fact is that people have come to this world to enjoy independently from Krishna. As I said, there's another brilliant purport in the fourth canto. Prabhupada writes, who is a Raja Rishi? He says, when a saintly person becomes a king, all the citizens are happy because the spiritual needs and physical needs and their hankerings are satisfied. So when a saintly person becomes a king, it is not that only he takes care of the spiritual needs. It's not that when a person becomes a Sikh, he says, after all, material world is a miserable place. It's a nice opportunity to actually understand it is a miserable place. Understand that your body, you are not the body, you are the soul. It's not the way to deal. So when a saintly person becomes a king, he actually takes care of the spiritual needs and also the physical needs. And even he takes care of the hankerings of the people. So when a person takes care of the spiritual needs and does not take care of the material, physical needs, then a person becomes impersonalist. It is like being, like when a person is focused on the mission and does not take care of the missionaries, then he is more impersonalist, the impersonal dealing with others. And when a person takes care of the physical needs, but does not take care of the spiritual needs, it is more on the sentimental platform. It is like any altruist or a philanthropist. So missionaries without the mission, it is like more on the taking care of the missionaries, but not being focused on the mission, not taking care of the spiritual needs, that is like a sentimentalist, many mundane philanthropist. So that is why a saintly king, he will take care of the spiritual needs and also the material needs. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, like he saintly king, even he takes care of the hankerings of the citizens. Hankerings of the citizens mean there will be certain citizens who will actually want to indulge in certain sinful habits like meat eating or intoxication or illicit sex. So the king would actually create facilities so that those hankerings will be satisfied in such a way that the peace of the general society will not be disturbed. Like Prabhupada writes in that purport in that Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka, when different prostitutes come to receive Krishna. So Prabhupada says there that in order to maintain proper peace and maintain proper peace in the society, prostitutes will have to be made available in the marketplace. Otherwise, those people who the low people or the low class people, they will create prostitutes in the society. In that way, the normal society will actually will become a great chaos. So that is why the king would make sure that maybe some liquor is available separately. But that is not meant to encourage the liquor. That is just to satisfy the hankering of certain class of people so that they don't disturb the normal society. So that is why Prabhupada writes in that purport. So basically, when a saintly person becomes a king, he takes care of the spiritual needs, physical needs, and also the hankerings. So when a person who understands this material world is a miserable place, when he applies in his practical behavior, it's not that he creates miseries in order to make them realize it is a place of misery. No, he takes care of the needs of the people, at the same time try to elevate. So many times a person goes to one extreme. So I would just like to add a few points and then I'll conclude. So in this verse it is explained that Bhavam Budhir Vatsa Padam Param Padam 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 Yad Vipadamna Tesham. So this, when a person takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then this material world, which is like a ocean, it becomes like a water contained in a calf's hoof print. So, so basically when a person takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, the hierarchy changes. Ocean becomes a small puddle. And when a person does not take shelter of the Supreme Lord, even a puddle can become like a big ocean. Like Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Katanchana smrite yasmin dushkaram sukaro bhaved vismritam viparitam syat tam Sri Chaitanya namamitam. He says, when a person remembers the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most difficult things becomes easy, and a person does not remember, the easy things become the most difficult. So Prabhupada says that like scientists, they can't understand that life comes from life. They can't understand even the simple fact that life comes from life because they don't take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when a person takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, the hierarchy completely changes. So for example, it's explained that in the first canto, Tam Vyasa Sunum Guru Muninam Yahaswanu Bhavam Akila Shruti Saram Ekam Adhyatma Deepam Atitirshatam Tamondam Samsarinam Karuna Yaha Burana Guhyam Tam Vyasa Sunum Upayami Guru Muninam. So Shukadev Goswami is called as the Upayami Guru Muninam. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that he was the incomparable guru of all the sages. So actually, in that assembly, Vyasadeva was present and Narada Muni was present. Vyasadeva is the spiritual master of Shukadeva Goswami and Narada Muni is the grand spiritual master of Shukadeva Goswami. but he became the incomparable guru of all the sages, including Vyasadeva and Narada Muni. So he says, because Shukadeva Goswami received the blessings of Srimad Bhagavatam, the hierarchy changed. The guru became the disciple and the disciple became a guru. So here, the ocean becomes a puddle. And puddle can become a ocean. So there are so many examples. Like, another example is like Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. So externally, Ambarish Maharaj is a householder and Durvasa Muni is a renounced person. And because of bhakti, Ambarish Maharaj is actually superior to Durvasa Muni. And externally, father is superior to the son. But when a person possesses bhakti, son becomes superior to father. The fourth canto, when Lord Brahma comes to pacify Lord Shiva immediately offers obeisances to Lord Brahma. But then after that, Lord Brahma glorifies Lord Shiva in order to pacify him. So there Prabhupada writes in the purport, although Lord Brahma accepted the respects given by Lord Shiva, but he knew that Lord Shiva is in a more exalted position than him. Actually, Lord Shiva is the son of Lord Brahma. But Lord Shiva is exalted than Lord Brahma. Son is superior to the father because of his devotion. Or Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda Datta, can you tell me who is the father and who is the son? Mukunda Datta said, actually Raghunandan is my father and I am the son. Because his devotional service is the foundation of all our devotion to Krishna. So this is like another point, like I will conclude with this. That here it is mentioned material world is a danger at every step. So initially when a person takes shelter, takes a spiritual life, the impetus is that, oh, material world is a danger at every step, so I should take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So that is like a preliminary level. That means, the preliminary level, a person takes shelter of the Supreme Lord out of fear. So Radhanath Swami Maharaj is explaining in class, in the KG level, a person takes shelter because of out of fear of going to hell. Like Narada Muni, when he met Prachina Barishad, Narada Muni first showed those animals who were waiting to kill Prachina Barishad in order to create the need in Prachina Barishad to hear, to create fear in him. But the PhD level is that a person takes shelter of the Supreme Lord even if it means going to hell. Like the gopis of Vrindavan, they were ready to give the dust of their lotus feet to Krishna. They felt, we have to go to hell for the rest of eternity, we don't mind. At least we can serve Krishna, we can give relief to Krishna's headache for some time. So in the preliminary level, we take shelter of the Lord, because this material world is miserable at every step. But the highest level is that a person, so the same Dukalayam becomes Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Means when a person takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, it completely changes the conception. Dukalayam becomes Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. So that is why bhakti completely reverses the hierarchy. It reverses the philosophical concept Dukalayam Ashashvatam into Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. It actually reverses, it makes the puddle into a ocean or ocean into a puddle. Or it makes the son into a father, or father into a son, or a disciple into a guru, or a guru into a disciple. So, I will quickly summarize what we have discussed. So, today we discussed about how unless we understand this material world is a miserable place, we cannot take shelter of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be just merely like a pious entertainment, Krishna consciousness. And then we talked about how when Krishna says this material world is a miserable place, it is not like a concentration camp, but it is like a prison house. And then we talked about how does a person apply this philosophy in his practical life from the example of Prithu Maharaj and from this another purport regarding Uttanupad. And then we talked about how shelter of the Supreme Lord like completely changes the hierarchy. So I'll conclude here. Let me like to add some comments. Adishyam Prabhu. I'm really sorry there. Yes, Prabhu. land.
Thank you. Brahminical culture, there is also a provision made for the hankerings of the living entities, which is also taken care. But without the presence of a very powerful Brahminical culture, advocating things like prostitution and other things may mostly ruin the living entities and do any good to them. So can you throw light on that connection?
I agree with your point, Aaron. The sense, yeah, it is true. Like, that's why I mentioned that the Prabhupada writes in that purport that the spiritual needs, the physical needs, and the hankerings are satisfied. Like, when we there will be, like, the king tries to satisfy only the hankerings, if he doesn't like give importance to spiritual needs, if he tries to create, if he doesn't try to put effort to maintain the spiritual culture, yeah, definitely that society will become a chaos. That's why, like, we see that when the great kings, when they ruled, that, like as you said, like, they tried to maintain the Brahminical culture. There's another verse which describes that. How Prithu Maharaj is explained that although he was the emperor of the whole planet Earth, he was trying to control, although everyone was obeying him, but he never tried to control the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So that means, like, he put full effort to actually maintain the Brahminical culture, and so that people can practice spiritual life. So these hankerings are satisfied in such a way, such that they don't disturb the Brahminical society, or the main society which is trying to, like, maintain. Otherwise, that society will be in chaos. That's why.
Like, you know, we are sometimes recently invited by many places to give lectures on the dignity for women. Many places, many companies and other places, ever since this unfortunate incident happened in North. So when we go to such programs, I don't even feel like quoting this example of prostitutes in Dwaraka. Such a facility was there in the Vedic times. Because I feel that, first of all, our society is not yet ready for even taking spirituality. First, let them take to Krishna consciousness and grow up. After which, such things they will come to know eventually when they read the Bhagavatam.
Nantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.